This is Jeffrey Sherman, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Once again, we are here to discuss all things Disney, and joining me today from Once Upon a Time Travel, Jiminy, how are you?
I am fantastic. Happy to be here.
From Delightful.life, Jennifer, welcome back from Alani.
Thanks. It's good to be back. Well, no. It's good to talk to you guys.
It's not great to be back. I should have said aloha. That's how I should have greeted you there. But
that's right.
And also tonight, Charlotte, one of our admins from Disney Nerds. Charlotte, what's happening down south?
Oh, not much. Hot. Very hot in Hot Atlanta. You know, we just stay in the air condition all day long.
It's the opposite.
Same here, Charlotte. Same here. Oh, my God. Same here. It's too blistering hot to go outside.
All right, so tonight we have a couple of pretty exciting things that we're going to go over. Number one, let's talk about some news from Walt Disney, a Disney Nerds Podcast movie review. And now for our Walt Disney World News and Reaction Report. So we know there's lots of things happening in Walt Disney World this week, and Ed is in the middle of most of it. That's new attractions opening, new shows, lots of things happening. And we'll wait for Ed to get back to get into those details. But what I thought we'd do is look at some of the nerdier things, or maybe the little things that we might miss, but as nerds we always pick up on. So a couple of things I have here, and then I'll ask you guys for your reaction. One, Jiminy and I were talking about just a little bit ago, and that is DisneySprings.com, which is a website devoted to Disney Springs. It is pretty cool in the way that it's been updated, including the new restaurants and shops, 48 dining locations, 95 shops listed, which is pretty cool. A lot of them have opened recently. The second parking garage, Lime, has opened at Disney Springs. And along with it, we have the new bus stop at Downtown Disney in the center, which I think is pretty cool.
It might be worth riding the bus now, actually, if it's in the center.
It's in the center, and construction has some interesting bus lanes set up. It will be pretty cool, I think. They have relocated guest relations. If you remember, guest relations was kind of hidden in downtown. Now it's front and center as you get off of the new buses, near the new Deluxe Burger. Can't wait to see Deluxe Burger. Is that
with it being hidden, there was never a line. I always had such good...
That's true.
I was able to get in and get out, but with it being right there at the buses, it's probably going to never be that way anymore.
That's funny.
You could be right. Now, yeah. I will say that guest relations on the same topic was a spot that I always visited specifically to see if they had any new interesting Disney dollars. We learned recently that Disney is discontinuing Disney dollars. You can still get them at guest relations while supplies last. Disney basically stated that the popularity of electronic gift cards has lessened their appeal. Now, as a collector, I'm a little bummed. I guess I'm wondering if you guys ever collected Disney dollars, or if you have any, or if you go and get them.
Well, yeah. And I think, quite honestly, it's their fault. I spent in, the early 2000s, when we first started going to Disney World a lot, Disney dollars were like all the rage. You could get them everywhere. They didn't really have the gift cards nearly as prevalent. You could get them at Disney stores and give them to your kids for allowance, and you could collect all of them, and there were new releases. And then for 5 years, I literally thought they were gone. I mean, I'm talking, we go to Disney World 2 to 4 times a year. I had no idea they still existed for years. And so they're like this secret, which, of course, they're not going to be popular if you don't tell anybody about them. So it was like my daughter lost a tooth while we were was losing one while we were going down there. And a Google search brought up that they were still around. And I literally, I thought they were gone for 5 years. So I'm not sure how. I'm totally disappointed. I think they're awesome, but they can't be surprised when they didn't ever advertise.
I would agree. Now,
I've never had them.
My biggest memory was when you'd rent a stroller, when I used to do that, when you returned it, you'd get a Disney dollar when you pushed it to the front of the park. And I still have a lot of those Disney dollars. That's when renting a stroller was maybe $8 a day as compared to what it is now. So that was a long time ago. But I definitely love Disney dollars. Collecting them, I have them. I have them in frames. They're pretty cool. Jimmy, you have any?
I have some that are framed. I don't have any like that I have for use. I bought some a while back that would like put in a frame where you can see both sides of them.
Yeah, so you can still get those if you're a Disney nerd. Swing by Guest Relations. They will still have them at Guest Relations until their supply is gone. Indefinitely, they will honor them.
Okay. Well, because my one daughter then has one that Tinkerbell gave her, and my other kids are like, oh, I need a Disney dollar. It's not fair. We don't have Disney dollars. So, it's disappointing, but, you know, I'm not surprised. I just wish maybe it would have been done differently, but
yeah,
I think they could have been very popular.
They were at one point in time, and you can still find them on eBay. In fact, the last series new that they introduced, I don't know if you've seen these, the 1, the 5, and the 10, it was the three mountainscapes at Magic Kingdom before the Mine Train. But the back of it, one's Big Thunder, Splash, and Space, which I do not have a set of. You can find them on eBay, quite expensive. But anyway, moving on.
Disappointing. Yep.
Yeah. STK, the new steak place, opened at Disney Springs this past week. And we have some concept art for what used to be Fulton's Crab, which will reopen as the Paddlefish later this summer. So my question for you guys, STK, Paddlefish, the Boathouse, Jock Lindsay's, Morimoto Asia, Disney Springs, what are you guys most interested in? What are you thinking for your next trip?
Steak.
STK, all right. That's
steak.
Yeah, steak.
Yeah, and I mean, didn't you say that? I know you've tried the Boathouse, and the Boathouse already have great steak. You got Shula's there that has great steak. You've got the Yachtsman.
Yeah, I don't care where I get it. Just steak. Shula's is great.
STK is good. Jock Lindsay's is a great atmosphere. I guess my point is there's a ton of great things at Disney Springs all the time.
To me, Jock Lindsay's, I mean, just the theming, and to me, it's pretty fantastic. I mean, all these other things that you're naming, STK, Morimoto Asia, these are all restaurants and stuff. Like, STK is a chain.
STK.
Is a, you know, it's his restaurant. Like, I feel like Jock Lindsay's is, like, really, like, a Disney restaurant that's Disney. That's they went in and themed to
and
something
did.
That's Disney.
Absolutely. They
you know?
Took Indiana Jones and...
Yeah, on those notes, like, first I've heard a couple of... Like, a large percentage, more than in a long time, of the restaurants are actually Disney-owned, which has not been the case for Disney Springs. And then I've heard a lot of complaints about Paddlefish, but quite frankly, like, I don't mind. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because we have, like, that exact riverboat replica 50 places on the Ohio River. But, like, Fulton's is great. It looks great, whatever, but it... I don't know. I feel like a lot of locals are pretty bent out of shape about that. So I'm interested to see how Paddlefish gets fleshed out.
They've been out of shape because Fulton's is going away?
Well, I think Paddlefish looks... somebody described it as like an abandoned something or other. So I guess they just think it doesn't... The theming doesn't look great. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be okay.
The concept art looks like they completely... gut the entire thing, and the only thing that looks the same is the boat itself. Like, the inside of it is completely different based on the concept art. Because I've been in Fulton's Crab a lot. I just
think it's going to be okay.
I
think it's probably going to be all right.
If anything, I do have...
Interesting. You were talking about the website, and I find it interesting. I hadn't seen it, and I typed it in, and it's DisneySprings.com, as you mentioned, and it doesn't redirect to any DisneyWorld.go.anything. It's DisneySprings.com, which I found really interesting, because pretty much for the last decade, anything and everything that ABC, ESPN, Disney, et cetera, touches goes to this go.com. But there's this idea that Disney Springs is kind of separate. You know, it's like a thing maybe partially for the locals, got its own story, and so.
I've never been to the website before, and when Sam pointed it out to me, I went on the website, And I will say, I like the website for Disney Springs better than I like the Disney website.
It's snappy. It's fast.
It's beautiful.
It seems to work. It's awesome.
And there's like a little, it looks, I mean, this is getting some complaints, but I don't mind it. It looks like a, you know, shopping center website. And there's a little, honestly, not branded arrow that says WaltDisneyWorld.com this way, you know? So,
right.
I don't know. I think we've talked about the Downtown Disney in California and how it does just feel like its own lively, wonderful place to visit. So I love it. I'm excited about all of the Disney Springs upgrades. So
absolutely.
Maybe if I were a local or had, I don't know, maybe people have different opinions, but I think it's really, really done well so far.
I enjoy it. I spent more time down there on my last trip than I ever have, and I truly, truly enjoyed it. And most of the locals that I know love it down there.
Yeah. Like, I've gone every time, I think, and I have plenty of friends who are like, I haven't been for years because of parking and because of all the shops. And, like, it was always a must-do for me, and now it's just that much more beautiful. So, I love it.
One tip that I have for everybody, my Disney experience, you can make your dining reservations, but all of, or I should say most of, because I can't verify all of them, in Disney Springs, you can also make reservations through OpenTable. I've tried
nice.
This personally.
Very nice.
I could not get a reservation at the Boathouse with my Disney experience, and OpenTable had reservations. So whether it's Morimoto Asia, STK, or any of these, use OpenTable. Don't think you're locked into my Disney experience. And that's, again, part of them attempting to, you know, attract locals and business crowd and others to make this a destination. So OpenTable.
Sure.
You can also go the old-fashioned rate and call the restaurant. I've had a lot of luck that way as well. I know, right? I called before, like, is there any way? They're like, oh yeah, you have to call the restaurant. Like, really? Like, just
yeah, I think that. I mean, that makes
or what? I don't
that
understand.
Makes total
they have a phone
sense,
number.
Yeah, it makes total sense though that they don't release all their reservations to My Disney Experience and they hold some for for locals like that because locals aren't going to My Disney Experience to make
exactly
the reservations.
Not at all.
Yeah,
not at all. All right,
so
let me keep moving here. I think lots of our nerd friends and some of us are very into character meet and greets. So there's a little bit of a rotation happening. So let me go through this real quick, and then I'll ask you guys to chime in. So we know that Anna and Elsa are now over in Norway at the new summer house, which means they have vacated Princess Fairytale Hall. Anna and Elsa are no longer in the Magic Kingdom with the exception of the Festival of Fantasy Parade. Now what that has done is made room for Rapunzel and Cinderella to meet separately and be accompanied by their friends Aurora and Princess Tiana. Snow White is now in Town Square. If you think Town Square, you can find Snow White sort of at the exit of the Mickey Gift Shop, which is that Town Square Theater. On the right-hand side, there's a little courtyard. That's where Snow White has been greeting guests, which is pretty cool. Now, with Tiana moving into Princess Fairytale Hall, Disney also made some interesting changes on their latest park maps regarding smoking locations. So there are now only two smoking locations inside Magic Kingdom. One is on the path to Storybook Circus, and the other is backed by Big Thunder. They opened a new location outside of the park near the ferry boats. So if you need that last smoke, you need to grab it outside or get all the way inside. So the area where Tiana was, behind the new Skipper Tantina and Adventureland by Liberty Square, sort of by the Christmas store, where the Sorcerers of Magic Kingdom was, that closed. Tiana's not there anymore, and the smoking location has been closed there. That's a lot of room. Any speculation on what they might be putting there? Any thoughts? So I guess I just went over a bunch of stuff. The characters, what do you guys think, and do they do something where Tiana was?
They're going to have to do something there.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Now, that is kind of ducked off back there. It's not like it's yeah, I don't know.
Don't know. So how about the
there have been there have been nothing there before. And what job they were doing Tiana in the old the store that was at the exit of Hall of President. I don't know. That little area is kind of ducked off in the back. It's not like it's not right in the middle of everything. So.
You know they're thinking something for back there.
I'm sure it's going to be something, yeah.
So Snow White.
To your point about the princesses, yeah, I can't keep track of them anyway anymore. So it seems.
Check your time guide. That's right.
And I think that it's it's very important to know that you need to check probably daily, if not weekly, if not definitely before you go on your trip, if seeing a certain princess is important to you. But otherwise, if you've gone often and seen them and they're not, you know, your first choice of fast passes or whatever, then I don't know. They'll be somewhere, probably.
They'll be somewhere. But you're right. This is as of June 2016, and it'll change a couple of weeks from now. It'll change a month from now and be completely different.
That's right.
But Snow White getting her own spot, I thought, was pretty cool because she had been, you know, with one of the other princesses back in Fairytale Hall.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point.
I can't think of anybody else. It's too early for them to bring out Mona.
Yeah,
Moana? How are they saying?
Moana.
A meet and greet, I think, is the easy thing to put back there. But I even see them expanding one of those buildings. Because what do you have on one side of you? You got Liberty Trees right there? Who knows?
Nice to have a rotating old character spot. That would be just so wonderful.
So cool.
And it'd be somebody different. It would be somebody different all the time. And it'd just be the rare character spot. And you never know who's going to be there.
Right.
Disney, listen to us. Bring us some rare characters.
I feel like that would always take a small, not a huge chunk, but a small chunk of people away from other places, which is, you know, a goal sometimes. And let's be honest, like, people are friends with lots of different characters when they're working for Walt Disney World. Like, they know people who know everybody, pretty much. I'm pretty sure they can get a hold of Brer Fox and all these other, you know. It's not like they're completely off the grid, so. It would be easy. Right. I am with you. It'd be very cool. Right.
So we want more characters. I agree.
Well, I think the issue with more characters is, and bringing those rare characters out, if you bring all the rare characters out, how are you going to sell those tickets to those hard ticket events?
Good point.
Valid point.
Good point.
Well,
and you also have people complaining that, like,
well, so
I was there, Baloo wasn't out, and
same day restaurant reservations. So we talked about the Skipper Cantina recently, the new Jungle Cruise restaurant that's in Adventureland, where they have day of reservations with the app or by visiting the location to get a table. So in other words, if you're visiting for one day, you've not used My Disney Experience, you can just walk up and see if there's a table available. Well, as of July 17th, so a couple of weeks from now, the Plaza restaurant is doing the same thing. Less ADRs and more walk-up reservations at the Magic Kingdom.
Love the Plaza.
Love it.
So what are your thoughts on
the walk-up? I just love that plan.
You turned me on to the Plaza,
I appreciate
Sam.
That.
And well, I absolutely love the Plaza.
Let's talk about that for a second, because when I did that, I made the reservation with the app the day of. I just went in and said I want something
like,
in the Plaza
was
available.
Dancing.
Right.
Right.
So is Disney saying, we're not doing ADRs here anymore, it's going to be available for walk-ups because they weren't selling it out? Or is this
probably
so that more people that show up and buy a ticket can find a place to eat? You have two choices.
I mean, I feel like the Plaza, you could almost walk up just about any point and get a seat.
I have walked up and got a seat.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever solidly booked.
It's been a couple
it's
of years.
It's been easier to
that,
get for sure than other restaurants, but I feel like with, you know, certain heavy free dining periods and things like that, like, there are definitely times that you can't find anything.
Sure.
So I love anything. We plan a lot in advance, but you know, as time has gone on, we've had more kind of spontaneous trips, and you talk to locals, and I love anything that will, I understand part of the appeal, but I love anything that will allow for just a little more spontaneity, whether it's characters or walk-up reservations or different, you know, ways to do fast passes in different parks, which, you know, changed a couple of months ago. Like, as much as I love planning and always had, you know, color-coded spreadsheets, and there is just something to be said for it being incredibly frustrating if something does change and you're just, like, gridlocked into whatever plan you have, or your whole day falls apart because there's no flexibility. So I love this direction. I don't know if it goes farther or if, like you said, it's just, you know, we can't fill this anyway, so let's do it. But it's a positive thing to me, I think.
And I wonder if some of it is because people with dining plans couldn't get something. Right, I have my dining plan, I have a credit, there's no availability, where can I use it? Now it's, well, you can go over to Skipper Cantina or go to the Plaza.
Well, That's a good point because, it, you know, for a while when the dining plan first came out and it was like $27 for an entree, an appetizer, a dessert, and a drink for every single person in your family and nobody could eat that if they tried, they had like, what, four snacks? You could get like Mickey bars and popcorn. And they expanded that because everyone was going home with like 40 Rice Krispie treats in their suitcase and saying, well, this isn't really worth it anymore because there's only so many, you know, bags of popcorn I can eat. So they expanded that directly, but it definitely increased the appeal of the dining plan. But if you are, if you have a bunch of table service credits left over, you're just going to complain and want your money back because you can't take it home with you. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
All right, I'm going to move us over to Epcot, where circus acrobats have moved into Canada. I'm not going to try to say this French pronunciation, but when I put it into Google and translate it, it comes back Perfect Strangers. Perfect Strangers are a musical circus act combining circus, comedy, and fun in an off-the-wall performance unlike any you've seen before. And they're at the Mill Stage in Canada. So no more lumberjacks, no more band. Now we have a circus acrobat.
I just caught a little bit of it on just a little bit of video on Facebook, and I didn't really watch the whole thing, but I will say that it looked more impressive than the lumberjacks immediately.
My first thought is like, wait, what, Canada? And then I realized, oh, yeah, okay, like Cirque du Soleil in France and Quebec, and there's this tie-in. But these, you know, all of the countries in World Showcase have, you know, are multifaceted because I'm pretty sure every country in the world is. And yet, you know, because it's one province, I don't think like quintessential Canada to the rest of the world is French stuff. You know, I'm sorry, and hopefully not offending any Quebecans. But like,
just depends on if you're from South Louisiana or not. Because we think French because we're all Cajuns and we all come from that French culture.
Well, you just think French in general, yeah. Right. But for the other 49 states and the rest of the world, Canada is gigantic, and one part of it is like has French influence. But mostly, I'm thinking, what is going on with that space? Everyone. I mean, I imagine all of you have in your town, like, that one restaurant that's like a revolving door. We have one that's right by a theater downtown. It's an amazing location, and yet literally a tenant can't stay in there for more than 2 months. Like, I have no idea what happens. And when Off Kilter, which was wildly successful, left, there was, you know, was it contract? Was it this? Was it that? I thought Sam's prediction that they're going to use that space was probably the best because, really, what other great reason is there for getting rid of Off Kilter? They're not using the space for something different. They're still putting entertainment there, and yet nothing is sticking. And I don't hear, oh, because it's not Off Kilter. I feel like we've moved on from that, but it's just that it's not getting widely appealing acts, I don't think, and no, I just can't figure out why. Like, I can't figure out what's going on.
They hadn't done anything good there. Like the Lumberjacks or so.
It's just weird.
It's also different when you're stopping to listen to music. You have a drink in your hand. You might be having a snack. But when we would go by and the Lumberjacks were there, there's no way that I want to stand out there in the heat and watch somebody saw something. I just don't. It's not interesting enough to me to watch them create stuff out of wood. I can see that when I go to the Smoky Mountains. It doesn't do anything for me, and I definitely have no interest in going and standing and watching circus thing, anything, nothing with circus. So I will be one less person standing there. If there was music and they were playing good music, then I would stand there and listen.
I actually like watching that, and I like the acrobats in China, which, first of all, that means there's another set of acrobatic, I guarantee they're very different. They're different, but they're not different enough. And I do enjoy it. I love the server amusant, whatever, in France, which is just like two pavilions away where they're doing like stacking chairs and whatever. But I just feel like,
you
hit on it, Charlotte. Like, it's not something that you, I feel like you have to then sit and prepare for the acrobatic show in Canada a couple minutes early so you get a good seat and you watch the whole thing. And it's very different than like adding to the atmosphere and lingering because it's entertaining, you know, kind of in a more transient manner. And I don't know, like, I wasn't even like a big Save Off Kilter, you know, petition starter, but it's just, it's just interesting to me. It's that very first, you know, very first opportunity you have to see entertainment as you walk through World Showcase if you go that direction. And it just seems like, oh, another one of those kind of things that doesn't really, but it also doesn't fit in Canada. So it just seems a little off. But I'm sure it's a good show. Actually, I'm more interested in seeing that than I was the Lumberjacks, which God bless them. I'm sure they're great guys. I feel like everyone riffs on them. Yeah. I'm sure it was a great show, but I'm sure it was a good show, but it's just like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like something I'm super excited about.
I'll watch it if I'm walking by. We'll see. I'll watch them to see how it goes, but I think you guys hit the nail on the head. You just can't seem to get something to stick in the spot.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
The revolving door.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. We mentioned that Anna and Elsa have moved into their new location, the new Frozen attraction, Frozen Ever After, is opened. Ed will get us details when he gets back. Now, if you remember where the location of this is, it's between Norway and Mexico, the location that once upon a time was a Viking ship playground, if you guys can remember back that far. I remember my kids playing on that, sort of behind the Mexican margarita stand. Well, when they opened Frozen Ever After and this new meet-and-greet location, we lost the margarita stand.
To the uproar of the internet.
Yes.
At least my circle.
I saw that, and it was announced the day that they were closing it, that the margarita stand is going to be gone. So we lost the margarita stand. I'm sure it will come back
must
somewhere.
Must have missed that.
Jennifer, can you get on that and start
actually,
a petition?
I say, well, that's totally my thing. No, actually, LaCava, I think, tweeted it out. And at first, because it came from their Twitter account, I was like, we have tried for the last 6 trips to get chips and queso and a margarita at LaCava, and it never works out. Now they're closed, but it's not the indoor. It's just the outdoor stand. And a later tweet did say that it was for now or whatever it was definitely temporary language. So
where it was is now the opening into the summer house. So it's turned into this nice big open area instead of having you blocked into a little pathway around World Showcase. So it really opens that whole area up, which is part of the new attraction. You come around that corner now and it's like, wow, look how big that is.
That's awesome. Anytime you can open up World Showcase Promenade is good, in my opinion.
Agreed.
And I'm sure they'll find a spot for it. But we may have lost the margarita stand, but we did speculate on this show, and we know now for certain that the Grand Fiesta Tour in Mexico will be opening at 9 o'clock, along with the new Frozen attractions, and La Cantina de San Helen is serving breakfast at 9 a.m.
Huevos Rancheros! Yay! That's very cool. I love it. More World Showcase is always good.
So you can now get breakfast in World Showcase back by those attractions without going into the Princess breakfast back there. So that's kind of cool.
Very nice.
Jimmy, Mexican breakfast, what do you think?
I love.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. It looks like your standard breakfast food with some spicy potatoes. That's kind of what I got out of it. Am I missing something?
I like spicy potatoes.
I love Mexican breakfast, so I'm very excited about that.
All right. All right, continue.
I love World Showcase, too, so.
Yes, exactly.
So continuing, Epcot, another closure, this time in Innoventions, and you guys may or may not have seen this. If you are a fan of Some of All Thrills, you only have a few weeks left to enjoy it, which makes me wonder what's happening over in Innovations East. We know that West completely closed, and they added the Big Hero and the Inside Out meet and greets with lots of rooms to do more of those over there. But we're losing some more things at Innoventions. Any thoughts or idea what's happening up there?
Wow, Some of All Thrills is going away.
Some of All Thrills, only a few weeks left. The sponsorship is not there anymore.
Wow.
Aww. That's sad. I think a lot of people miss that because they don't even go in there. And I know my kids think that is just one of the best things in all of Epcot. They love Some of All Thrills. So I'm going to be sad to break that news to them.
I definitely think that's overlooked. And honestly, it just, I don't know if it was like denial or what, but I used to absolutely love Innoventions. And of course, it's you know, dwindled, much like Studios. It's sort of dwindled and then rumors and then, something is coming, but not really. And then we just keep getting rid of stuff. And it's basically empty. It's been empty for a while. But I feel like with, you know, the Great Piggy Bank, Chase and, you know,
other
these big ones. And now, especially with the Sum of All Thrills, I mean, it's I feel like it's, you know, the end of an era. Like, my kids will never know the interventions it had. Newest video games and the House of Tomorrow and the Segway, little, like, miniature Segway experience and all the, like, super cool things that were in both sides. Not that long ago, really. I mean, I'd say less than 10 years ago, those things were just full of really cool things to do. But it's just new, I guess, and they'll just never know.
So if they're getting rid of Sum of All Thrills and Colortopia is in there now, which explores the world of color, maybe they're going to keep it in that frame instead of bringing more characters. And maybe, I don't know, they could bring in something like music, the discover the world of music or the world of light, or, I mean, something sciencey and cool at the same time where people are immersed in something and learning at the same time. And that's what Epcot's supposed to be. So,
like, some sort of collision of, like, art and science would be very
cool.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep, that would be really cool. So be interesting to see what they replace in that.
Yeah, because they haven't quite finished the other side yet where those meet and greets are. There's still so much space in there, right? That's where the Segways were, the Segway tour that they don't do anymore. Lots of...
Right, it's huge.
Right.
Absolutely. All right, so let's go back to Magic Kingdom for a second, because I wanted to make you guys aware of something or see what your thoughts are. Remember that Disney After Hours event thing that they had?
Oh, yeah.
That didn't work out.
Exactly. So that was initially...
I really wanted to go.
$149 After Hour event that was available in, call it the spring of 2016. It gave you access to attractions from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., with very short lines, not a lot of people. They also were giving water and select Mickey novelties like Mickey bars and some of the ice cream things. Which, by the way, the event, less the water and the Mickey bars, was very similar to the e-ticket and e-ride events that they had back in the early 2000s. And by the way, that was like $13 to do that versus $140.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, goodness.
Ten times the amount, right? But, you know, it brings up an interesting question, because we get asked in the Facebook or in the Facebook group, and I see people post all the time, is something worth it, right? Is this After Hours event worth it? Is a Christmas party worth it? Is staying at the Grand Floridian worth it? To me, that's a personal opinion. You really can't put, right, that everybody's
absolutely
got value on things. You can't
say we see it.
It is.
Look, we see it in the group all the time. I've seen people ask, is this worth it? I'm like, is it worth what? It's free. People will even ask that about something that, like, is it worth it to go see Yeehaw Bobby? What is it worth? What is it worth? Your time? Because it doesn't cost anything, you know. So I guess that's the question: is it worth the right? So is it worth time? Is it worth money? In this case, money and.
We have 3 to 5 of us on a show at a time, right? And there's every single thing that comes up like this. One person will say, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're charging $100 for a few desserts to watch the fireworks in Seven Seas Lagoon. And the other one of us is like, when's that opening? Because I want to do it. You know, I mean, it just depends. Like,
right.
And we all, you know, get along really well, have very similar interests in some regards. And it just depends on so many factors. I've heard people raving about that act, if they actually went. Not
right.
Terrible. It sounds like it did terribly for Disney. People raving about it. Sam, do you happen to remember how many people went to the e-ticket events? Because
this event,
while it was more expensive, everything I've heard is you could go for 10 minutes and not run into another person. I would pay so much money for that.
You got
right,
it.
Okay, but was that just because nobody paid?
Yes, absolutely it was.
Well,
yes.
It is. Right.
So
yes.
Let's get back
if
to
they
that
sold,
question.
If they sold out the event, then you're looking, I mean, they were given tickets away because they couldn't sell it.
That's where I'm headed, Jimmy. So what they did, and let me jump back to where I was. So back in April time frame, they cut the price in half for annual pass and DVC members. So they reduced it from $150 to $75. And for that last week, they were actually giving away tickets to anyone that checked into one of the monorail resorts for free. So if you checked in the Monorail Resort and that event was happening, they gave you passes and said, go. So I guess my real question here was...
And people still probably asked, is it worth it?
Exactly. So have we seen the last
of
this?
It obviously wasn't worth it.
Well, for Disney, because...
I don't know. I mean, maybe they rebranded and they and they sell it a little cheaper. You know, maybe they missed their price point. So
maybe they missed their time of year.
Maybe they missed their time of year.
Because, listen, to me, if when I'm going in the fall, especially when you go around those busy fall dates like Columbus Day week, when it's much more crowded and Food and Wine is crowded and the Magic Kingdom's crowded and even the Halloween party is, you know, many days will be sold out, you know, in a row. I could see it being worth that to have Magic Kingdom almost to myself for a few hours in the fall when it's all nice and decorated for Halloween and the fall and maybe instead.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're not doing the party, but they're doing like what they did this time. So keep it different than the party, but maybe have a little, like, instead of regular Mickey bars, give, like, pumpkin ice cream or something. I don't know. I think maybe they're also, they really were hitting the wrong time of year for something like that. I don't think that the spring break crowd is the right crowd. Because yeah. You have so many more people on such a stricter budget at spring break than a lot of fall travelers, I think.
Well, and you have hours that are already open until 10, 11, 12, you know, at night. Like, there's a lot of us that are just, frankly, not going to be able to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning, especially with kids. And
right.
But, you know, they did that after-hours thing at Epcot as well, and that sort of seemed to have bombed. Like, it sounded interesting, and you remember they had, like, certain restaurants, and there was a little menu, and you could also...
Yeah.
But even then, I feel like people, for whatever reason, maybe it's the self-realization that at the end of the day, granted, you know, people that are not... going to take resort days or whatever. If you're thinking you're going opening to close, you're not going to add on, you know, you're not going to pay more to like hopefully stay up later. I don't know. So I feel like the after hours thing, I love the idea. It just doesn't seem to be working out just yet, but they'll figure it out probably.
Trying to take, if you think about it, $149 is 50% more than the price of a ticket for the day. So that to me,
they have priced it out of reach.
When they cut the price,
most
in half,
people,
right? But I think they also realized that Charlotte, when the Christmas party and the Halloween party are still at the $105 range on average because they have tiered pricing. But
right.
If the $150 was the right price, I guarantee you the Halloween party would have went at $150. But they didn't do that, so they must have figured something.
A Halloween party, as much as I love, I could not see spending $150 per person for us to go for that.
Which is why it's
especially as an annual pass holder or...
Exactly.
Especially as an annual pass holder or local. I mean, yeah, mostly if you have an AP. Like, if you, you know, were going down for several days, and, I mean, yes, it's more expensive than the $100 one-day pass, but you get a good 7 hours, rare characters, bougie parade. I mean, you could argue that the $50 extra is worth the exclusive... opportunities,
because
but the 150, if it were 150, if you have a pass already and it's now $150 extra, I just don't think it's worth it anymore. So it's really interesting dynamic that they have to consider every time too. Like, we've talked about how they don't necessarily focus as much on repeat guests, or they don't focus on DVC members. I mean, there's lots of complaints all over. Honestly, who knows? Probably each different campaign focuses on a different group, but the reality is, like, there's all kinds of different behaviors, and we just talked about it. How do people come up with what is worth it for them? How much money are they spending? How often are they coming in a year or in a lifetime? And we have fun speculating, but really there's so many moving parts. I feel like there's
Absolutely.
Probably not a right answer or a solid prediction, even on, you know, for their best marketing team.
Something like Disney After Hours was a test to see what they could get away with.
Exactly, yeah.
That's exactly.
Now, did they do Disney After Hours out at Disneyland as well? Because I would think that it would work out at Disneyland.
I feel like that would go well, yeah.
I do not believe so, but I'm not 100% sure.
With that being such more a local park and
right.
the nightlife being so much more, I could definitely see my Southern California
Gosh.
Friends going and hitting
Especially
that
if it was
late
both
at night.
Parks. That'd be so cool. Yeah.
That would be very cool.
But there again, you have the added thing of that's then extra money for most of them if they're pass holders. So
right.
Who knows? Who knows? They're creative, at least. You have to give them that. They try a lot.
They try. They definitely try.
All right, I'm going to move along here. Let me remind our listeners that Disney Nerds Podcast are co-hosts, all of us. None of us are locals. We all travel there just like you guys do. And a couple of these, the opinions that you hear are based on that. So we're in the same boat that you guys are in, for sure. So here's another interesting little fact. Typhoon Lagoon is getting a new family water slide, or at least they submitted plans to do so. My thoughts, is this a reaction to the competition? And for you guys here, when's the last time you visited a water park? Yes, it did.
Never.
Years for me.
Never. Never.
Never for me either.
Never.
It's
never.
Crazy. It's one of those years, things, yeah.
And it's been years for me too. Maybe it's a reaction to the competition. I think the water parks are really more local driven, maybe. Or the last time I did it, I was on a 10-day trip.
Yeah, I think if you're on a long trip like that and you've got the time,
then you're going to do it. And you only did it for half a day, and then we were downtown or someplace else after it, right?
And, it depends on your family as well.
Yep.
And I think the other part of it is that, you know, what's a ticket to the water park cost? $60?
Unless you get the premium AP, because you have to add the premium.
What does it cost for me to do, for a non-pass holder, you know, that's on a 5 or 6 day trip, to add an extra day to go to one of the parks? $10?
$10, $15, yeah, a lot less. I'm with you. So it makes
sense. I think that's part of it.
All right. So
my kids have gone to that, so they will be very interested in that. That my teenagers love water parks, but I am not a water park person. So
they definitely have gone.
They'll be happy to hear. So it's a family slide that they all can go down together.
Family slide at Typhoon Lagoon. Yes, that's being added.
Very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
I think we'll go sometime, because I'm positive, I'm confident that the stories and the theming and the cleanliness and everything else that we love about other Disney parks, I'm sure that people listening are like, I can't believe you haven't gone. I'm sure they're great, but for our family, you know, we still have a 4-year-old who's the size of a 2-year-old, an 8-year-old, one of which is, you know, incredibly anxious about everything. Like, it would be a half day of which we'd either be split up the whole time or not really doing much, even if I'm sure there's plenty to do still, but there's so much that we can't do that, yeah, just any one of the parks or Disney Springs or our hotel sounds more appealing for us, as, you know, even if we go for 7 or 10
absolutely.
Days.
That'll probably change as your kids get a little older.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course.
But even still, like you said, I mean, is it going to, is $60, $80, is it going to be, you know, 6 times more exciting than going another day to any of the other parks? Like, I don't know. I feel like unless you really love water parks, most trips, that's going to be a no.
Probably not.
And your resort pool is great. So, I mean, there's always great pools at your resort that the kids love to hang out with. I don't go to water parks because I have an autoimmune disease. And so just being at the regular parks in the sun during the day is enough. And so I could not be out in the sun at a water park all day long. But I don't need a water park because I'm pretty happy at my resort pool under an umbrella.
I don't blame you there at all. Now, speaking of the water parks and some changes in logistics here in bus transportation. Now, I know, and you guys know, historically, if you got a bus to Animal Kingdom, you got to stop at Blizzard Beach first. And then when you returned from Animal Kingdom, you stopped at Blizzard Beach to pick people up. And the same was true for Disney Springs and Typhoon Lagoon. Well, they made a change here recently, and here's what the change is. If you're going to Blizzard Beach, you need to get a bus to Animal Kingdom, where you will change buses to get on another bus to go to Blizzard Beach. And likewise, if you're headed to Typhoon Lagoon, your bus will go to Disney Springs first, then you stay on the bus and you head to Typhoon Lagoon. So if you're going to Animal Kingdom or Disney Springs, don't have to make the stop at the water parks.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. That's pretty cool, because you're on the way to Animal Kingdom, and, oh, wait, we got to stop at Blizzard Beach. And usually nobody gets on and nobody gets off.
Right.
So, I thought that was a good change.
Yeah, that is a good change.
Very good change.
Disney has also recently added a preferred parking option to all 4 parks and the water parks. How fun is that? Mm-hmm. So now, on top of the $20 a day, for an additional $15, or for just $15 if you're a resort guest, you can park closer to the gate. So basically what they've done is taken the former AAA Diamond parking locations and turned them into preferred parking.
Ridiculous. The AAA Diamond Parking was great, but I keep seeing pictures of this preferred parking empty. Empty lots or very few cars in these lots, and I have to think that there a lot of people are not using them.
You're paying for so much already, and you're walking so much already. As much as, you know, in general, we as society might like to, you know, walk less than we have to, or, you know, some people, whatever, don't like to exercise or what have you. Like, you're at Disney World. You're spending a ton of money. You know you're going to walk. Trust me, I actually have gotten into, like, some altercations, obviously not physical, but I'd get mad when they won't let you like drive forward. Like, we just do this because we want you to find your car. I don't care. I'll find my own car. It used to be that I could drive forward. You know, you're coming in at like 6 p.m. and you know there are 300 spots open in the front. Like, right. I will go through a lot to try to get a good spot, but I'm not going to pay for it. Like, that seems crazy to me.
Absolutely crazy.
But somebody is probably thinking it's a great idea.
Somebody's counting the $15. Thinking it's a great idea.
It doesn't cost them anything. For the most part, in my mind, I hear all the dads sounding like Red Foreman. Get your butts out of the car and walk. I'm not paying $15 extra, so your lazy butts don't have to walk as far. I mean, I can totally hear a million dads across the world saying that as they pull into the parking lot.
And they have trams. If you literally can't walk, they have trams.
Right, and it also gets back to the buses versus driving. If you're staying on property, the buses, you're going to use those. And you'll probably be closer than the handicap spot in a lot of cases, except for Epcot, where they put you way on the other side. But
and Timbuktu for the buses in Epcot. Although, you know, I'm not a bus rider. I usually don't like the buses. But that day that we were there for my daughter's surprise birthday, if we had not rode the bus, we would not have. Exactly. The red carpet treatment would have not happened. She would not be still saying, you know, 3 months later that it was the very best day of her life. So,
that's awesome.
That's
why I don't mind. I don't mind the buses.
My only issue with the buses was Downtown Disney, and I think they're getting through that and over that. And look, if you're going to get a bus after fireworks or after parade or after an evening event, you're going to wait. So you go shop a little bit before you go to the bus stop. Don't rush out, because you're just going to stand in line with everybody.
Yep.
All right, a couple more items here. Back to Magic Kingdom. Last year, the Wishes Dessert Party was redone and rethemed and repriced to $49 for adults and $29 for kids. This year, Disney has added a same-day premium events. So let me explain here for a second. The Wishes Dessert Party historically has been on the Tomorrowland Terrace. So you can reserve this ahead of time and have your table reserved waiting for you. It's the Tomorrowland Terrace, the area right between the Plaza Restaurant and Tomorrowland on that pathway, and you'll get to sit down in the bottom and watch Wishes from basically the standing location undercover. And that is purchased ahead of time. Now, what they added is a same-day package where the dessert party is now located in the area that used to be the noodle station. So, Jimmy, I think you were talking about this area not long ago as not being used a lot. You can sign up the day of for a dessert package where your dessert will be served up there in the top where the noodle station used to be. And then as the fireworks approach, you can go to the Main Street Garden Plaza to watch Wishes, which is basically the area that used to be the Fast Pass viewing location. Mm. Now, that's the same price as the other, which is $10 more than it was last year. So it's $59 for adults and $35 for kids. But basically what they're doing is taking a location that wasn't being used, use it for a dessert party, and then allow you to get access to the FastPass location, which, by the way, there are no longer FastPasses for Wishes at Magic Kingdom. So you can buy your FastPass now.
Interesting.
Is that what it is?
They could ultimately do dessert parties, too. Yeah, kind of. Although there's not, it wouldn't be Wishes at that point because they're not doing two of those. But, you know, you could have a dessert party going on after, like before the second running of the parade or something, too, since you move them out of the way.
Right. So it's an option. And, you know, I used to love the Wishes Dessert Party. But I'm thinking back 6, 7, 8 years when it was $20 a person. It was a great buy. It gets back to the worth question. Is it worth 60 a person or 20 a person? 20, it was a no-brainer. Just to be able to sit down and watch the Main Street Electrical Parade and then Wishes in without fighting the... Now, right. Very similar. Tony's Town Square has introduced a new Main Street Electrical Parade viewing package. So a fixed... A fixed price menu, $45 for adults, $17 for kids, or a single dining plan credit. So you can get this as a dining plan credit. You eat dinner in Tony's Town Square, and then you gain access to watch the parade from Town Square near the flagpole, which is the former FastPass viewing location.
I don't like it.
It's the modization of FastPasses, right? So it's the whole worth question and what somebody's willing to pay to get to stand in those locations.
Now, don't get me wrong. If you're planning on eating there anyway and you figure you're going to spend that money, I wouldn't pay extra for it.
Or you have the dining credit and you're using a dining credit.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're planning on eating there. But to me, it doesn't sound like they're trying to sell fast passes to the parade. They're trying to sell seats at Tony's.
You could be absolutely right.
Which is, it has been, you know, perennially a problem sometimes. So
yeah,
it's gotten a little better, but yeah, I agree with you, it's not the best. It's the third best Italian restaurant.
I don't hate it, but it's yeah,
it's the third or the fourth best Italian restaurant popular. Property you have to take the two in Italy and then
how many there are, right?
Mama Melrose
and then Tony's Town Square. Yeah. So it's the fourth best.
Oh, and then Trattoria
out of four.
The Boardwalk.
Oh yeah, so it's the
Boardwalk.
Best. I've not
tried it. Trattoria.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say it's better than Tony's.
I have eaten at Tony's recently. I thought it was very good.
Good.
I thought the staff was wonderful. We had a very pleasant meal. It was, I had no trouble getting in there. No, it was not the best Italian food I've ever eaten, but
worth
it was better than
$45?
It was better than Olive Garden.
So is it worth $45?
Yeah.
But a plate at Olive Garden is $12. Is it worth $45?
Well, to
it's
me, no.
Right.
It's that worth question. But I also, and we've discussed this before, I am not usually going to eat in places that I can get the same type of food of at home.
Sure.
Usually when I eat something at Walt Disney World that I could get at home, it's because the other people in my party that I'm with, I got overruled.
Sure.
Not everybody likes to eat Moroccan food as much as I do, so I do have to go sometimes with the more tame things. And but it wasn't bad. I think it does get a bad rap. It's not the best, but it's not the worst.
I've never had a problem with it, but it's like Jimmy said, and you said as well. Like, I'm gonna pay for something different if I have a choice.
Right.
I can use that same dining credit and go eat at Ohana's or.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
Right, so there you go.
Yeah, I'm with you. But you can't get the Main Street viewing.
No, but I can watch Wishes, but I can watch Wishes from the restaurant.
Bring back Spectro and we're talking about something different.
All right, yeah. All right, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, the last couple of things I have here. There's also lots of road construction happening around Walt Disney World. I mentioned before the new parking garages at Disney Springs with bus lanes in the center, making it very easy for you to get from the highway into the parking garages. And if all goes the way they expect it to, there's no red lights at all along that road right in front of Disney Springs because of the people walking up above you and the bypasses and things like that. But the latest that I found that was interesting is a new ramp or a flyover near the Magic Kingdom Plaza. So Disney's adding a ramp that will bypass people headed to the resort loop over and around the Ticket Plaza so that they don't have to go through the Magic Kingdom Plaza turnstile or gates when you drive in. I thought that was interesting. So basically,
yeah, that's always confusing. Like the first time you go back there for a meal or to stay, like, wait, am I paying? How do they know that I'm really, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a little awkward. So that's cool.
Cool. I think it's cool, too. It'll be neat. You know, what I'm really looking forward to is when they complete the exiting construction, where the old Speedway was, because really getting the buses off of that, separating basically the resort loop from people going in the Magic Kingdom. That'll be cool.
Yep, definitely. Mm-hmm.
And the last piece of news I have, you may have seen, you know, the whole Marvel comic book Disney connection. First there were Figment comic books, and then the Haunted Mansion. There's a new comic book series that has been released. Have you guys seen this one at all?
For Big Thunder?
No, after Big Thunder. That one's in there, too. There's a fourth one.
Okay.
The Tiki Room is getting a comic book.
All right. That's a stretch.
So my question is going to be, I have a Big Thunder, I have a Haunted Mansion, and I have one of the early Figment books. You know, how many of these do you put in the frame before you say, okay, that's enough? Or what's next after the Tiki Room?
Hall of Presidents.
I don't know. The thing is, I thought it sounded really cool, but I wasn't thinking just, you know, your four birds in the Tiki Room. I'm thinking if it expands to, you know, mostly Adventureland, Tiki Room and Trader Sam's and Jungle Cruise and even, you know, all of that, like, Tiki culture, you could do some really cool stories.
Yeah. But so, well, why wouldn't they do Jungle Cruise? Like, if you're going to pick one, why wouldn't you do Jungle Cruise?
Maybe that'll be next.
I thought it was cool when they gave Figment his comic and not in the Haunted Mansion. But they're stretching now. I mean, now we're just going to give every attraction a comic. Then it kind of loses. To me, it detracts from the coolness of having the Figment comic.
Well, and I think the Figment comic is unique because this is a character who
has less
of a story and a presence than he ever had, and he never had a lot, you know, sure. But these other things have stories. If you start telling stories about the Tiki Room and the Jungle Cruise, you're going to get into something that's not uncharted for, like, graphic novels, but you're going to start having, like, what, alternate realities? Because you have to. You're going to run out of things to say. Sure. But Figment, I mean, like you said, Figment has not really been explored, so you have so much to work with without starting to contradict anything else that you've said, so... Yeah, I agree. Basically, if it's going to be like a retelling of each of the attractions, that is kind of silly. It'd make like a great pictorial souvenir, but not like a real, you know, like a real comic series.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They are calling it the next 5-issue miniseries, The Enchanted Tiki Room, based on the classic attraction. Mm-hmm. So that's what Disney Parks blog says about it, which says there'll be another 5-issue miniseries after that.
Gosh, five. Yeah. I feel like, what's it going to be, like one for each bird and one for how they get together as a team? Like that seems, I don't know.
You'll have to buy it to see what
it is. See, and that's why they're making it, because you're buying it.
Yeah.
No. You'll have to buy it and tell us what it is.
Yeah, Sam, you buy it and tell us about it.
Someone on the internet buy it and tell us what it is.
We'll do a review of that later. You know what? That's the first Disney Nerds Podcast book club. It'll be a comic book club.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, with that, we have covered a lot of news. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in to the Disney Nerd Pod. Did I miss anything? Do you guys have anything else? Did you like the segment?
Gosh. Yeah, it's fun.
That's great.
I like the lesser talked about news stories because I saw, you know, 400 pictures of the 5-hour wait for Frozen Ever After, and it looks very cool, and I'm excited about it, but, you know, you can only see the same headline so many times.
It's not. The 300-minute wait is not a story anymore.
No,
right.
It's not news anymore.
Little things get lost. Like, yeah, wait a minute, where's the margarita stand? I can't get a margarita. It's a 3-hour line.
Yep.
They still have Disney dollars? Wait, what? Yeah, that would have been great to know a long time ago.
All right, so we'll do these periodically as new news comes up. Thank you guys for
action!
And now, it's time for
a Disney Nerds Podcast Movie Review.
So with that, we are all fresh off of seeing Finding Dory, which premiered here this past weekend in June 2016.
So let me ask each one of you, do you think it is equally as good as Finding Nemo, better than, or not quite? And we'll go to Charlotte first.
Not quite as good as, but not far from. I mean,
okay, that's fair.
I think it's not quite as good as just because I thought Finding Nemo was so amazingly excellent. I know it's not a Disney movie, but I was comparing this with my daughters on the ride home from Finding Dory. And like the first Harry Potter movie is my favorite because that was the beginning of the magic. So Finding Nemo is kind of the same with that because it's what took us under the water. And we've had a 200-gallon reef tank forever. And so I just love Finding Nemo for that. Now, Finding Dory had some great points that we'll talk about, definitely. But I just don't think it's as good as.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I have to agree. As far as Disney and Pixar sequels go, it was one of the best, probably behind Toy Story 3, but that might be it. I definitely think it was, as a movie, just Finding Nemo is practically, I mean, it's so, so good. And I actually had a couple of critiques for Finding Dory. They're small, but it made it definitely quite as good as Finding Nemo. But as Charlotte said, some of the take-home points might have been, you know, some of the most important in a number of films. So it depends on how you look. I'd say as far as, like, movie watching was less good than Finding Nemo, but a wonderful, very important film, I think.
What do you think, Sam? So the characters are absolutely incredible. And that's why we're going to see it, right? Everybody wants to see Nemo. Everybody wants to see Dory again and all of the other characters. So we got the cameos from Crush, and I thought that was great. So I really liked Finding Dory. And I think Ed hit the nail on the head when he said, well, how can they call it Finding Dory? Somebody must be looking for Dory. And as we find out, it's the parents that have been waiting for Dory, but that's a whole other story. I don't think it was any. So from my point of view, it was a good movie. Was it better than Finding Nemo? I don't think so, but it's hard to have the sequel be better than. Doesn't happen that often.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to say it was just as good. I enjoyed it just as much. I think they did a really good job introducing some new characters. At one point, Nemo and Marlin are trying to find Dory.
Yeah.
Right.
So when they get separated I guess you can make all those ties. Dory trying to find herself, Dory's parents trying to find him. So, but I think they really did a good job.
Great title,
Yeah, so I think they did a really, really good job tying in some stuff from the past, like the whale talk and that type of stuff, and show you why she knew how to speak whale and that. So that type of stuff and introducing those characters I thought were great.
It's definitely good. It was definitely worth the wait, so.
The kids liked it. It was worth the wait. I thought that the whole, there were a couple of jokes in it that just got old. The whole, and we know that Dory suffers from short-term memory loss. To me, it got old, but that's okay. It was fine, and the kids enjoyed it, so it was good.
Some of the good things I thought about Finding Dory over Finding Nemo is you can see how much the artwork has progressed since they made Nemo.
Yeah.
Nemo was beautiful. It was a beautiful film. It was gorgeously filmed. All the artwork was so pretty. But I noticed the very first thing I noticed on Finding Dory was Marlin and Nemo's scales. Now, if you have ever owned fish and you have sat and you've watched them for a while, you realize that all of their different scales on their body are a little opalescent and they are a different shades of color. And as they swim through the water, they change color. And this was the first time that I noticed that. I didn't see it in Nemo. I'll have to go back and look in Nemo to see if they had that small of detail. But my daughters and I both went, oh my gosh, look, you could see their scales and the way the light hits them. And I thought the light in the water, especially in the kelp forest, was amazing. I thought it was gorgeous. Very beautiful artwork. You can definitely tell how it has progressed since they made Finding Nemo.
You know, I think that's one of the things, before we started recording, me and Sam were talking about how did you guys see it? Did you guys see it in 3D? Did you see it in 3D IMAX or just regular?
Regular for me.
Saw 3D first and then regular with my kids.
Okay.
So I saw both.
Sam, you saw it in 3D?
I saw it in 3D because that was the next show playing when we got there. That's the only reason why.
So I think one of the things I don't like about 3D, and that's where I was going with this, was those glasses, I find, they're a little tinted So everything's a little darker when you watch it in 3D. So I think some of those things don't come through. You get the 3D effects, but I think it comes at a cost.
The ocean was spectacular in 3D. This is the first time in a long time that I preferred it in 3D. But Charlotte, you're right. Like, it was, the details were amazing. But interestingly, my husband's first comment was, you know, I was so excited about the upgraded technology, and then the water was always like murky and gross as far as like actual, you know, it wasn't like a big blue ocean because they were all, right, you know, like in a cove somewhere. But you're right. Like, they, I mean, there's been some conversation about how difficult it was to, you mentioned the light in the kelp forest, how difficult it was to render Hank and how the light reflects these mimic octopi and what their texture does with their skin. And the technology in the animation was absolutely incredible, regardless of murky waters. And I think no matter whether you saw it in 3D or not, I did prefer the 3D, but gosh, in 13 years, they've come a long way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There were times during the film where you forgot it was animated or computer animated. And I think that's a testament to technology, and you could then get lost in the story.
Absolutely.
Well, that note, like, we're not talking about Piper, but literally the clip, the short before, it looks like a nature documentary. It is so gorgeous. I'm so excited to see what comes even in the future with Pixar animation.
I'm glad you brought
that up.
Oh,
that was incredible.
That was a great short. It really was.
Yeah, it was. Yep, yeah. Definitely.
It'll be on the next video of shorts that they do. Do you get those from the Disney Movie Club?
Oh, yeah. We do buy them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My son, interestingly, he was like 2.5 years old and was obsessed with the John Henry, which is like the darkest short on the Disney one. I'm like, all right, whatever. But whatever. It's all right.
Awesome.
Favorite new characters from Finding Dory? One step out or stick out for you guys?
Oh, yeah. I like the otters.
The otters.
The otters are so cute.
Cuddle party.
Cuddle party.
And likewise, Becky. Like, I couldn't decide at first. She was annoying, but I think Becky steals every scene she's in. She's so awkward.
That's
and
awesome. That's
she's
true.
Eating the cup.
Important, but so oblivious. And she's a mess. She's so sweet.
That was good. Point.
And, of course, Hank.
I have to love Hank.
But that's part
absolutely.
Of the story.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But those sea lions were great. They were so funny.
Oh, yeah.
the one, I can't remember his name, but my daughters keep calling him Ed because they think he's
like
the hyena.
Ed from the Lion King.
Gerald, yes.
Gerald, yes.
Gerald, the hyena. Yeah, that's good.
Good comparison. I thought the same exact thing. He's a very good comparison.
That was hilarious.
Sam Raimi. Sam, you were not in the animation presentation at Expo, right? We were in different places then.
I was not. Yes, I was not.
Okay. So when we saw the first like sneak preview, and granted, they brought out Caitlin Olsen. I was trying to think of what's not Scarlet Witch, but Caitlin Olsen, and they brought out Ty Burrell and Ellen, and but I think I was so excited for Bailey and Destiny. And I was a little disappointed, honestly. They were hilarious, and they were wonderful, and they were, I think they were perfectly fine. I think, though, that the funniest part of, so, you know, you have a beluga whale who thinks he has a head injury because his head is swollen. Like, that's the funniest setup, and that's it. Like, that ends up not being, it's part of the story, but it wasn't, like, I wanted more of them, but it certainly wasn't, like, you know, glaringly lacking by any.
Speaking of more of, you know, did you catch the end credits?
I didn't. I saw somebody post that, but I missed it. I didn't know to wait. I normally only wait for those in Marvel movies.
It amazes me how many
we just do all of them.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's not like it's a secret anymore. They all seem to have something at the end. And so I was very surprised at how empty the theater was. And there was only like 7 people left on what had been a full theater waiting for the end credits. So more of, we got to see some of the characters from Finding Nemo at the very end of this movie. So we're wondering if there's going to be a number 3. So
I would guess not, but you never know. I mean, goodness gracious, there's a 3rd Cars and a 4th Toy Story, and who knows? But, you know, it took 13 years for this one, so I figure when my kids are, like, out of the house, we'll find out.
Exactly.
Well, if they use those characters, my daughters joke that that would be a straight-to-DVD movie. Unfortunately.
That might be true. That might be
true.
Could
be. It could be. So, but it was very cute. Definitely, nerds, if you haven't gone to watch it yet, stay and see the end credits. All the way through.
Absolutely. It was short, but very cute.
There was a point when they were in the research center where essentially they're going to what appears to be a type of amusement park. Call it, you know, whatever you want to call it. But there was a shot where the signs looked exactly like Epcot. It was really
cool.
Yeah.
I spotted mm-hmm. it for sure. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, and you know, the second time I actually got to look for, I was disappointed because, you know, all those YouTube videos come out, like 50 billion Easter eggs that you missed in this last movie. And I miss like most of them and I get frustrated, but then they're really cool to see after fact. So the second time I watched, I was like, I'm just going to catch all these Easter eggs. And I saw like one. There's a picture of Darla in the scene, like in one of the quarantine scenes. And I'm like, seriously? I'm like looking at all the background animals and I see virtually no Easter eggs, but I'm sure they're there. But you're right. Yeah, I definitely felt that way. And the Sigourney Weaver bit was so, so funny. So stupid and so funny.
I thought that too.
Hilarious.
First time I was like, what? And then the third time you're like, okay. That's
so funny.
Anyone hear John Ratzenberger at all? I always listen for him because he's been in every Pixar movie, and I did not
catch his hear
voice.
Him, but I don't. I'm not.
I don't
100%.
Remember hearing him.
Neither do I, and I didn't see the Luxor ball.
He is
either.
A crab.
Is he?
Oh, I did not look for the Luxor ball. Now I did love this. Like I said, yeah, the pleasure to watch it again, which is really nice to not have to. You know, the first time I just enjoyed it. The second time I was able to just be nerdy. John Ratzenberger is one of the crabs,
okay,
like giving directions. And then, interestingly, and this one I wouldn't have known had I not read it, because, of course, he's not, I wouldn't have recognized. Ratzenberger's voice now is famous to Disney fans and Pixar fans. But Alexander Gould, the original voice of Nemo, who, of course, is too old to voice Nemo this time, is one of the truck drivers when they apprehend the vehicle toward the end. And one of the truck drivers that gets,
cool.
like, booted out of the truck is the old Nemo. Yeah, they gave him a little appearance because the filmmakers, who are, like, all the same as the original movie, so they just love this kid. And so they gave him a little cameo, which was fun.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
Very cool. Very nice.
I like that a lot. That's cool.
Did you see the Pizza Planet truck?
But yeah, I wouldn't recognize him. But I didn't, no.
I thought I saw it on the bridge during that truck scene, but I have to go back and watch it again. Just make sure.
I'm sure.
See, and this is why I'm battling for Easter eggs, because I should have at least looked for those, like, the ones we know are there. I should have looked for those, but next time.
Exactly, next time.
So we know that there's already some merchandise in the parks. You know, Jimmy, something I wanted to ask you about, because this was at the theater where you watched the movie. You had posted a picture on Facebook. They were selling merchandise at the theater?
They were, and this is the first I've ever... seen that they were selling, like, as soon as you walked in the theater,
brilliant.
You were selling, like, t-shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Your picture was the only one
I probably
would have
rolled my eyes, but it's brilliant.
On entire social media that had that as well. So I didn't see any other I saw lots and lots of people at the theater getting ready to see Dory and taking their pictures in front of the big sign. Not one picture other than yours of the merchandise. So that's very interesting.
Really cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Jimmy, did they have baby Dory plush?
I did not see that, though. I saw somebody post that. Dustin Hayes posted a picture of baby Dory plush today from Walt Disney World, and it is completely, ridiculously cute.
Well, because it was like, you know, the previews happened, Piper happened, then it went dark, and, you know, whatever, the castle intro. And then her little tiny voice and tiny face, like, introducing herself, I'm like, this is it. Like, this movie's going to be great. And it was. Like, you knew right away, and then through the whole, like, quick overview of her life and adolescence, like, the whole time it was just like, yeah, that's totally Dory. Like, we had known her, you know, through her childhood, and that was so well done. The characters were so consistent, I thought, with what, you know, what we'd have expected baby Dory to be like. Was really cool.
Mm-hmm. It was very cool. There was good takeaway from that too. I mean, I was having a terrible day before we went to see it. Sometimes adminning our Disney groups are not as fun as they could be. So I was not in the best mood before I went to to see the movie, and I do have to say there was a couple of moments that my eyes teared up a little bit, and when I left, I was in such a better mood because, I mean, you hear me on my sign-off. What I say is always just keep swimming because that's kind of how I feel about life. And what would Dory do? She would just keep swimming. She'd just keep going. And so Dory doesn't give up. She perseveres. And so I loved that a lot. And the take home for me was a lot, was very good for that. I'll have to watch it every single time at a low point.
I think the messages were some of the most poignant, especially for a sequel. I mean, my goodness, like, sequels, you know, in any movie genre tend to be, not always, but they can get away with being a bit more throwaway, a bit more gag heavy. And this one did have some, you know, like, it relied on some additional humor that, I don't know, may have been a little silly. But the messages were really strong, I thought. And I think you're absolutely right. To her, to see Dory, just persevere, not just through whatever her known difference or disability that she has, this short-term memory loss, but really to have just this long-stemming need to apologize for who she is, and really just lack of support, not from her parents, but from people along the way as she was truly alone for so long. And really, I thought it was just so powerful to see her both before she met Marlon and Nemo, because of course, if you haven't seen it yet, it takes place. We have a little scene setting up, you know, her life before Marlon and Nemo. Then she bumps into them, and then the rest of the movie is after. But you see that transition from just learning who she is in a supportive environment, and then going through the rest of her life, apologizing for it, and being told that it is it's a nuisance and that she's a bother and that she, you know, is incapable of things. And then, she and people completely separate from her realize that, you know, difference is what makes her who she is. And it's not all bad, which is such a great message, I think.
Especially now. It's a message that so many people need to hear anyway. It's okay to be different, and it's okay to, you know, just keep swimming with your differences. Just keep plowing ahead.
So really? I'm hearing that you guys both like it and give it a thumbs up, and it's a must see. Is that what I'm hearing?
I definitely loved it. I loved it so much that I'm going to give away a couple of things on my blog for Finding Dory to celebrate. My blog is just Peachy Keen, and you can find it at mypeachyqueendom.com. But I'm going to give away 3 Hallmark itty-bitties of Finding Dory, Nemo, and Destiny. So it could be your destiny to win.
There you go. And I will link to that in the show notes,
That's
too.
That's so fun.
So awesome. Thank you. Jimmy, from your side, is that a must-see?
I would say it's definitely a must-see.
It is most definitely a good movie. If you're a fan of the first, my personal opinion is you cannot beat the second. As Jen mentioned, we feel like we've known Dory all along and grew up with her, and it was kind of cool to see her find her way and reunite at the end. It was a great movie. And if you guys haven't seen it, go check out Finding Dory at a theater near you.
Absolutely. It's interesting, too. I know we might actually talk about something like this, but we talk so often about in our comparing what movie is best and which one will we watch. Like, this is one of those, as we opened up with, it's like super powerful. I'm not sure if I choose watching it over Finding Nemo every time, but as Charlotte said, like, man, if you need a little talking to, like, it is a really powerful one. So absolutely go see it. Go see it again if you've seen it, honestly. And tell us where the Pizza Planet truck is.
Absolutely.
Yes. What are the other things you look for in a Pixar movie? I listen for John Ratzenberg. I look for the Luxor ball, and I look for the Pizza Planet truck. What else is a must look for?
The number of the
A113. That's
yes,
right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I saw a different number they wrote down that I don't know what it is. Did you look up or did you find them yourself?
No, I looked it up.
No, I saw. It's so good. I totally am looking it up as we speak. But like,
so A113, which we all know is the Cal Arts. That's the animation classroom. The two sea lions, that was the numbers on their tags. One was A1, the other one was 13.
Awesome. Very nice.
And then also it popped up again, like on a license plate that said CALA113.
Ah, class one.
Nice.
Which is CalArts.
There was another number. There was another number I wrote down that, like, just showed on the screen for way too long. I feel like it has to be something, and now I don't remember what it is.
Wasn't that the pipe?
Yes, on the pipe. Yes, the pipe, where they run into the corner.
The pipe, that freshwater pipe pays homage to the park in Disneyland and the Finding Nemo thing. There's a pipe with that number on it, and that the number is like 50.
Okay.
It's 59, and that's when the original attraction was first put into Disneyland.
20,000
Leagues.
Yep,
20,000 Leagues in 1959.
They lingered.
So the pipe in Disneyland pays homage to 20,000 Leagues, the original attraction, and then the movie pays homage to the pipe.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
It's in the park.
And a totally like nerdy note, after seeing at the expo the like D23 Easter egg on in Civil War on that holding tank, like it's just become more clear now. Like if something lingers a little longer than like
there
it seems
reason,
like it
yes.
should, it's always something. It's always something. Yeah. So both times I'm like, that has to be something. I need to write it down and look up what it is. But
another
John Ratzenberger. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Another interesting thing was there was a lava Easter egg in Piper.
What's the next Pixar
so cool.
movie? Is it Cars 3?
I don't know.
Probably so.
Oh, there should have been something.
Well, it's just to say too, like there's my goodness, several down the road because they take so long to make. You remember, like in Nemo, and we didn't know this until years later that there's like Monsters Inc. There's Finding Nemo, and so it's just there's all
right.
these different references to ones that are like 3 and 4 down the pipeline. In this is not Pixar, but in Zootopia, you know, there's something for Gigantic, and there's like several different ones that are not even the next release. So I'm looking that next year is both Cars 3 and Coco.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
There could have been Easter eggs for either of those. So
the lava thing is in Finding Dory, not in Piper. I'm sorry. That wrong. It's a magnet. It's a magnet or something.
Cool.
And they pay homage to the song, the guy who sings the song, which is Uku.
Very cool. That's awesome.
There's also a Wally calendar.
I thought I saw the Wally calendar. That was in Finding Dory. I think I know where that was.
Okay, so Jimmy, with your secret references, does it give you a backstory? Because I needed to know why is Darla's picture in this quarantine? Like, is it her? You know, it's the Pan's niece. So does her dad work as a scientist at the MLI? Like, why is her picture there? I need to.
There's a story somewhere. We'll find it later, that's for sure.
There's Luxo Ball somewhere.
Yep.
Yay. Yeah.
The Luxo Ball is in the kid zone of the Marine Life Institute.
With that, thank you guys for listening. Jimmy, do you want to go over the details?
Yes. If you want to find us, you can find us on Facebook, the Disney Nerds podcast page. We also have the group Disney Nerds, which we are almost at 20,000 members, which is a cool milestone. Email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, Twitter @thedisneynerds, and Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast.
Thank you so much. And on that, thedisneynerdspodcast.com, by the way, there's some really cool blogs out there, and I love Dad for Disney's post of 1977 Walt Disney World Vacation.
That is
absolutely
a really good one.
Incredible.
Great post.
Very cool.
The ledger copy of his contemporary resort hotel room stay from 1977. One room, one night.
That's so cool.
Any guess how much? Did you guys see it?
I did not. So what, 1977?
1977.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
I'm going to say $26.
I was trying.
I have no idea.
48.
Not that cheap.
48.
That's so crazy.
I'll take it. Book it.
I'll take it.
Right now.
Remember that. So, and that's just a hint to some of the things you'll find at thedisneynerdspodcast.com. With that, I'm Sam.
This is Jimmy.
Jennifer.
Charlotte.
Kongaloosh.
See ya.
Guarini.
Just keep swimming.